Good morning. Now, today, Happy Merdeka. And just like Pastor Neil said, we are on this prayer series. And today, we're kind of like taking a break. But part of it is also praying for our nation. So I entitled today's message called Blessed is Our Nation. Say, blessed. Say, blessed is our nation. You know, every time when I travel abroad, and after a couple of days, I begin to miss home. I begin to miss Malaysia. I don't know about you. Yeah, most of the time, it's because of the food. Yesterday, my wife is here, so I say family, okay? But food, family, yes, all part of it. But after a few days abroad, you will begin to miss home. You begin to think that, oh man, Malaysia has so much to offer. Okay, Malaysia has so much to offer, from the food, from the diversity, from the people, from the stability of the government to a certain extent, to economics and to geographical. There are so many. The people are generally warm and friendly. There are so many things that Malaysia can offer. I know sitting here, maybe there are some, a small pocket of you feel that you want to go somewhere else. You feel that you are not satisfied or discontented with our nation. Maybe some of you feel that you are supposed to be somewhere else, but somehow you are kind of stuck here. I want to encourage you that while you are here, we want to adopt the posture and to declare that Malaysia is blessed, right? It's easy to complain whenever we see something that we do not like or some policies that we do not like. It's easy to grumble. It's easy to complain, it's easy to blame, it's easy to judge and criticize. But as God's people, we do not want to be like that. Okay, but instead, we want to choose to declare and to speak blessing and God's goodness upon this land. Because God has placed each and every one of you here in this land, in this time of history, for His purpose. Now, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, God has placed you and I here in Malaysia for this season, right? So most of us here are Malaysian. Some of you are non-Malaysian, but God placed you here for this time for a purpose. I'm reminded of the book of Acts 17 when Apostle Paul landed into Athens, and as he was preaching the gospel to the people in Athens, the Greeks, he made this mention, this statement in verse 26. Let me just read. He says, from one man he made all nations. It speaks about how God is the creator of all nations. And here the nation means people group, okay? That they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. So in the sense that today here we are living in 2025 and they are marked out boundaries in that sense. It says that God is the creator of all nations, and God appointed times for you and I to be alive in this age in the boundaries of the land that we're living in today. Verse 27, God did this so that they will seek Him, say seek Him, and perhaps reach out for Him, say reach out for Him, and find Him, say find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. So God placed us here for a purpose. The first reason is that God placed us here so that we will find God. So God can, so that we can have establish a relationship with Him and help others to establish a relationship with Him. But beyond that, the first thing that I want us to know is that we are in this land, in this nation, for a purpose. It is not by accident. It is not that we cannot go anywhere else. We are here because God has placed us here. That's the first thought. And today, I kind of want to walk through a devotional and kind of declare that Psalms 33 upon Malaysia. Now, Psalms 33, if you have your Bible, you can track along. But Psalms 33 is very unique in a sense that the author is unknown. Okay, most of the book of Psalms is written by King David. It's written by sons of Korah. But when there is the author that is unknown, a lot of times we are very quick to attribute to King David. Yeah, but today, as we look at this psalm, let's not assume that it's King David. There is a reason why perhaps we don't know who the author is. Now, this psalm is also unique because most psalms speaks about asking God to rescue us, asking God to deliver us, asking God to help us out of a certain situation, right? But this psalm is written as a hymn of praise. It celebrates God's sovereignty, justice, power, and love. It is a psalm that declares his praise. And it's not written as a personal devotional song. You know, some songs are written as a personal devotion, a personal emotional outpouring unto God. But this song, this psalm, is written as a national collective worship and praise unto God. Which means that Psalm 33 is that when the people of Israel gathers together, God's people gathers together, that's one of the songs that they sing. Usually it is to declare God's goodness and greatness. Usually it is before they go out for celebrating a certain victory. This is what they come together and worship. And you know, as believers, that's the same as well. Right? We have our personal worship time with God, and that's important. But as God's people, there is a time for us to come together collectively to worship God together as God's people. The reason why you're here today, it is not because on Sunday you have nothing to do. It is not that because you have to go to church, you have an obligation. No, the reason why you are here today, because you and I, we belong to God. And God's people come together to church to worship God together. Are you guys with me? That's why it doesn't matter whether we have full band or half band. Every fifth week of the year, okay, every 3-4 months or so, we will have a stripped down band. And I really enjoy worship because I get to hear different ones of you singing, and I get to hear the sound of God's people worshiping together. It is beautiful. Okay, so let me kind of start Psalms 33, verse 1. It says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him." So it says that, sing joyfully, you who are righteous. We live in a new covenant. We live in a new covenant whereby we have been made righteous. So it's almost like, sing joyfully to the Lord, you and I who have been made righteous by what Christ has done on the cross. It is fitting. Say the word fitting. Fitting means it is right. It is appropriate. It is only natural for us to praise him. That's why I like just now Eunice says that, right? What's that? Hallelujah, right? It's in the Old Testament, it's that, God, would you save us? In the New Testament, it says, God, we praise you because you have already delivered us. It is fitting for us to praise him because we have been made righteous by Christ. Praise the Lord with harp. Make music to him on a 10-string lyre. Okay, that's like a 10-string instrument. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Basically saying that we want to praise God with everything that we have. With our voice, with our hands, with our instruments. We want to sing and play and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. And here, the psalmist introduced the nature and the character of God. That God is right, God is true, he is faithful in all he does. Some of you here, you need to know that God is faithful in your life. That we may be going through challenges, you may be holding on, you may be here, and maybe you're here, maybe you are on the verge of giving out, wavering on your faith, maybe you have been away for a long time, and today somehow you are here today. I want you to know that God is faithful in your life, regardless whether you know it or not. God is faithful. Verse 5, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. That's the nature of God. The earth is full of his unfailing love. That's the nature of God. Righteousness, justice, love. And then the psalmist speaks about creation. Okay, it's kind of speak about Genesis 1 here. By the word of the Lord, the heavens was made, right? God spoke and the heavens were made. Their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. I like this beautiful poetic description of the greatness and the bigness of God. That the ocean, he can almost gather it and then put it into a jar. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the people, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. Say, fear the Lord. Say, revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. You know, today, sometimes we lost the understanding of what it means to fear God. We lost the understanding of what it means to revere God. A couple of months ago, there was one of the leaders in this house. He was involved in business. He was sharing with me that a few years ago, he was invited to the palace of our Selangor Sultan. And the meeting was at 6 o'clock, and all of them had to be there by 4 p.m. Okay, latest 4 p.m., all dressed, properly waiting for the 6 o'clock meeting. Okay, so there is a sense of reverence to the position, to the title, to that. Okay, to the sultan. And they were mingling, and half an hour before 6 o'clock, all of them are expected to sit down in their respective seat, silent, without saying anything. All of them silent half an hour before the sultan were to walk in. Okay, such reverence, such respect to the sultan, in a sense that sometimes we forget what it means to come together as God's people to fear him and to revere him. Yes, we sing about God's love. We sing about God is our friend. Yes, I'm a friend of God. Yes, all that is true. But sometimes on the other side of it, we forget that God is the God of the universe. We forget that God is the God that created heaven and earth. That sometimes we forget what it means to come to church together with a sense of fearing God, with a sense of reverence, with a sense of respect. That we come to church with such casualness that we forget that we are to revere him as well. And then the authors switch it towards nation. Okay, so from creation to nation. It says, the Lord foils the plans of a nation. He thwarts the purposes of the people, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generation. And that's the key verse. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Now, in those days, ancient nation, they worshiped their respective ancient gods. The nation of Egypt worshiped the gods of Egypt. The nation of Greek worshiped Greek gods, right? But it says that, blessed is the nation, and they were referring to God's people then, blessed is the nation whose God that they worship is Lord, is Jehovah, right? Because we become who we worship. In today, modern nation, we worship modern idols. We worship modern gods. If you think about certain cities in the world or certain countries in the world, you kind of will attach a certain image or a certain atmosphere or a certain idol that they worship. Maybe certain cities, certain nations will worship materialism, right? They will worship wealth or corruption or idolatry or sexual immorality, selfishness, pride, and all these modern gods that we worship. But the psalmist is saying that blessed is the nation whose God is not all these things, but whose God is the Lord. And God is sovereign over all nations. Throughout history, nation comes and go, right? You talk about Babylon, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire. Nothing, the rise and fall of nation, nothing surprises the Lord. What more, our nation, Malaysia? Relatively, the history is short compared to some of the nations that has ever existed. Roman Empire existed for hundreds of years, and no one at the height of Roman might, no one would have imagined that one day Roman Empire will fall, because they were so powerful, they were so rich, their influence extended across half the known world. No one would expect, but God is in control. Nothing surprises God. The first thing that we need to know as we think about our nation is that God is sovereign over all nations. God is sovereign over Malaysia. Amen? God is sovereign over all Malaysia. God is not surprised, okay, over who is leading the country. God is not surprised which political party, what kind of policy. God is not surprised because God is sovereign. Psalms 33, verse 13. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. Say, all mankind. Say, that includes me. Okay, that includes me. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth, he who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything that they do. The second thing that, you know, a lot of times when we are in this land, we are very quick to blame and to criticize certain government leaders or certain policy makers or certain business or certain this and that. It's very quick for us to criticize. But, you know, the Lord sees all of us. The Lord watches everything that we do. That all of us, if God has placed us here in this nation, we all have a role in nation building. Right? If you work in a company, that your role is to bring value to the company so that the company can bring value to the nation. If you are in education, if you are a homemaker, your role is to be the salt and the light in that space so that we can contribute to nation building through the spheres that God has put us in. Second thing is that God is just, right? He judges. He considers everything that we do. So that's why if you are a businessman, if you are working outside as a working professional, you be the best that you can be. Regardless of the environment, regardless of whether it is good or bad, the circumstances, regardless how good or bad your bosses or the policy or your environment, your industry, regardless, God put you there. You do your best so that we can be part of nation building because we are people of God. So when the Lord is our God, we are blessed, that our nation will be blessed. And then as he ends the Psalms, he says, no king is saved by the size of the army. Obviously, at that time, in the ancient nation, the stronger, the mightier your army, your horse and chariots, your spearmen and your arrows, the stronger it is, the stronger the nation. He says, no warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is in vain hope for deliverance despite all its great strength. It cannot save. It cannot save. It speaks about ultimately God is our salvation. Let's not put hope in men or policies or political party or certain things. Yes, all those are important things. Good governance is important. Good government, good leadership is important. Good education is important. Good economic policies is important. But let's not be fooled that the ultimate thing will save us. It is the Lord. It is not one policy. It is not one good leader. It is not. But ultimately, God is our Savior. Verse 18, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. That's the word again, fear him. On those whose hope it is in his unfailing love to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. You know, our nation is blessed. Our nation has its journey, the different struggles, just like any other nation. There are no perfect nation, right? Sometimes the grass always look greener on the other side, but there is no perfect nation. We go through our various political challenges years ago. We go through economic challenges now. We go through our education system. We go through the gap between the rich and have and have nots is growing wider. We have our fair set of challenges in our nation. The recent many bullying cases and suicide case of the young, it breaks God's heart. But ultimately, God is our salvation. That people, our nation, needs God. That every single one needs God. Now, what do we do? What do we do as we think about our nation, as we speak about our nation, as we pray for our nation? What should we do? That's why as a church, we participate in the 40 days NECF prayer and fasting, coming together with the rest of the churches in Malaysia to pray and fast for our nation. You know, it is heartwarming to see as I speak to different pastors' friends, and it's encouraging to know that they are praying and fasting together. It's encouraging to know that there are people, Christians all around Malaysia, praying and fasting, believing God for outpouring of God's kingdom to be upon our land. That we want to be joined together with that. So what should we do? As the psalmist ends the psalm, he says, we wait in hope. Say, wait in hope. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Now, waiting in hope doesn't mean that we sit down and do nothing. This waiting in hope has an active posture towards that. Active posture in our spirit, active posture in our practical daily lives. That even as we wait in hope, we do our best. In your workplace, in your family, in your schools, in whatever circumstances, situation, industry that God has put you in, that we do our best as we wait in hope. In Him, our heart rejoices, and we trust His holy name. And we want to trust the name of God, ultimately. We don't just say we trust a man or a certain leader or a certain brand of the company or a certain political party. Those are good things. But we ultimately trust the name of the Lord, right? May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. This is what are we going to do. Later on, we're going to move to dialogue, talking about how can we be a blessing to our nation? How can we pray for our nation? But I want us as a church to respond to these psalms. I want us to maybe stand to your feet. We're going to maybe sing a song. But we want to, why don't you stand to your feet? And as we digest this psalm, I want us to pray. Okay, I want us to close our eyes. And I want us to just begin to tune in to what God is saying. First and foremost, it is fitting for us, the psalm says, right? It is right for us as people who are being made righteous by God to sing praises to Him. Even as we close our eyes and just begin to ask God, God, why is it that you have placed me in this nation? And begin to ask for forgiveness if we have been apathetic about our nation, if we have been selfish, that we only think about ourselves in this land. It's all about what we can take from this nation, what we can take from opportunity. Just going to give a few seconds for us to come before God. God, if we have been critical about this land, if we have been judgmental, if we have always been complaining, grumbling only about this land, God, we ask for your forgiveness. Let's just begin to repent and ask God for forgiveness. God, help us to change our mind, to change our language. And just before we pray, I'm reminded of the story of the Israelites in Exodus 33. When God was leading them, the nation of Israel, into the promised land, there were two groups of people, right? Same things that they see, giants in Canaan. That these giants are taller than us, they look stronger than us. Same fact, but two different groups of people. One only see the facts, the circumstances around us. But one see through the eyes of faith and see through the truth of the Lord. You know, standing here, we live in the same nation. And we see and we read the same facts of the circumstances, the different things that is going on around us. We see the same thing. But let's not choose to stand on that side. But let's choose to stand and to wait in hope, to see this nation through the eyes of the Lord. And to say that, God, you have placed me in this place. You have placed me in this place. We're going to sing a song. And after that, we want to pray for our nation. Maybe we can sing that song. Hallelujah. How great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Oh, see how great. How great is our God. See how